This is Indian Noir. You're listening to Season 2, Episode 10 of Fear FM. The darkened was haunting Rudra Devi day and night, manifesting in dark corners of every room that she entered, shuffling behind her in the shadows when she made trips to places of worship or to the homes of clients, breathing on her face when she slept. The vile spirit was making a statement. I'm always around. I can get to you when I want, where I want. No spirit Rudra Devi had manifested for a client from the Naragaranya forest had returned to haunt her prior to this. As days passed, she grew discouraged by the ineffectiveness of the spiritual barriers she had set up around her and the failure of the tantric rituals she had conducted to banish the entity. Any sense of hope she had about vanquishing the entity to the netherworld was severely diminished by her teacher Dhruman Baba's refusal to help her access mantras from the Atharvaveda. His excuse? It could only be wielded by sadhus who had dedicated decades to its study. It made her question how much her teacher, the great sadhu Dhruman Baba, knew of her talents, of her unlimited potential. If only she could find a guiding hand that was braver than her teacher. Or, should she say, ex-teacher. Given the circumstances, it was important that she dealt with the Dakin immediately. It was time to conduct the Mahavidya Tantra ceremony, a dangerous tantric ritual that would call upon all her skills and immense mental fortitude. If she got it wrong, well, she couldn't afford to get it wrong. Presently, Rudra Devi was returning on the train from Kharagpur. She had visited the town to acquire special supplies made with snake essence ghee to facilitate the Mahavidya ceremony. The midweek train was not surprisingly mostly empty. Most people had gone to their villages for an extended break during Diwali holidays. Dressed in a red sari, her face adorned in red and white ash, Rudra Devi was a striking figure set against the peeling blue paint that covered the interior of the train. Occasionally, people travelling through the cabin paid their respects to her. Some even placed notes or coins at her feet. One look at her and they knew they were in the presence of a great yogini. Rudra Devi kept her eyes closed, meditating, recalling the mantras from Atharvaveda that were a part of the upcoming ritual. The exact steps of the ritual were noted only in very few commentaries of the Atharvaveda for a good reason. One wrong step, one poorly uttered mantra, one lapse of concentration, and you would soon find yourself in a dimension that was neither heaven, nor hell, nor earth. A place that morphed the living into something worse. The Vishnu Purana talks of this place as the dark zone in the depths of the cosmic water underneath the mortal world, just above the infernal endless pits of Naraga. A noise disturbed Rudra Devi's concentration. It was unnatural enough to warrant investigation, so she opened her eyes. There was no one in the cabin with her. Outside, the world rushed past in a blur. A wet, squelchy sound drew her attention to the roof, where a long snaking wall of filthy water had begun to form. It thickened with every passing minute, transforming slowly into a filthy door-like substance covered in human feces and the tiny teeth of children. Rudradevi stood up. She tracked the growth above her. She then removed a pouch full of sacred ash from her hip, grabbed a handful of it, and threw it at the strange organic growth on the roof of the train. The small fans in the compartment spread the fine powder everywhere. A fog, comprised of the sacred ash, soon enveloped the interior, severely limiting the visibility. "Another one of your tricks, you wretched creature," Rudradevi said. On the opposite side of the compartment, barely visible through the powdery cloud, was a shadow. It walked towards Rudradevi, slowly at first. Then it picked up speed as it mouthed vile demonic passages. Rudradevi chanted mantras that had previously helped her ward off evil entities, but the figure ran straight for her. Rudradevi walked back to what she thought was the walkway between the compartments as she continued to target her pursuer with chants. The cloud started dispersing, revealing an empty carriage. "I have won," Rudra thought. All she could hear was the beating of her heart and the sound of the train racing on the tracks. No sign of the grunting abomination. Even the strange growth on the roof of the train had disappeared. The Dagin materialized in front of her in an instant. Rudradevi moved back in shock, only to realize that she was in fact standing right in front of the open door of the train. Only her quick reflexes saved her as she grabbed onto the railing on the outside of the train and anchored her right foot on the floor of the train. The left side of her body was dangling outside the train, dangerously exposed to the rail infrastructure built on the sides of the track. Presently, her eyes fell on a wooden post that was rushing at her body with breakneck speed. With a mighty tug, she pulled herself back into the train. She fell to the floor on her limbs, panting. It felt like her heart was beating out of her chest. She felt exhausted by the adrenaline rush and the frightening nature of the experience. She focused on the here and now. The filthy floor of the train, the tiny fans, the peeling paint, the danger exit signboard with a missing T. When she felt ready to stand on her feet, she stood up and looked at the empty carriage. "You demonic bitch, I will drag you to hell tonight," she said. Over the months, she had repurposed one of the caverns in the ancient cave system under the Naragarnia forest to create an abode for her occult practices. Every tantrika deserved her own occult den. Every yogini needed a spiritual home. The vast space reserved for rituals now featured a yantra drawn using yellow sandalwood paste. A fire pit to facilitate the puja sat at the very center of the interlinked triangles of the divine illustration. The Mahavidya Yantra could open the portals to Naraga, so it was important to safeguard the mortal plane from its clutches using lilies laced with ash produced from the charred remains of parrots. Rudra Devi chanted mantras as she poured snake ghee into the fire. I will you to present your cursed form, O vile Dakin. Come forth, reveal yourself to the majesty of the Mahavidya Yantra, she said. Occasionally, she threw ash blessed by the priests of 108 Devi temples into the fire to increase the potency of the ritual. Rudra Devi's voice reverberated through the usually quiet chambers of the cave system, and waves of muted light cut through the darkness of the underground complex. The Dagin appeared above the fire pit, crying in pain, bound by an invisible force.
Let me go, you fucking bitch, she said.
Weeks and weeks of hard work had paid off. Rudra's diligent preparation and her proficiency in chanting the mantras were bearing fruit.
Let me go, you wretch,
the Dagin said as she struggled and squirmed. She was now levitating on top of the flames. I have you now, evil specter, Rudra Devi said haughtily. She chanted the Mula Mantra that opened the portal underneath the fire pit. What was once the hard stone floor of the cave transformed into a pitch black pool. Strange shapes bubbled forth from its depths, including what looked like fingers coated in black tar. Strange muffled screams could be heard from within. Even the whiff of the horrors of Naraga was enough to strike fear in Rudra Devi's heart. You messed with the wrong person, Dagin, Rudra said arrogantly as she drew words from the Mula Mantra in the air with her fingers, while reciting them to dispatch the Dakin to the depths of Naraga.
You sure about that, Tantrika?
The Dakin said with a big smile as she slowly descended to the ground. The black gooey substance climbed up into the fire pit and devoured the flame. That was the first indication that something was not quite right. That's not supposed to happen, Rudra Devi thought.
You must always learn to walk fast before you run,
the Dagin said, looking at Rudra Devi's feet. Rudra looked down at her feet. She was horrified to find that the darkness was now swirling around her feet and rising, threatening to devour her. No, no, she said. The Dakin started glowing from within, like there was a lamp increasing in brightness underneath her decaying flesh. The light grew brighter, swallowing the form of the demon.
I have you now, Tantrika. I will enjoy your screams from the netherworld,
she said as she slowly disappeared from view. No, Rudra Devi screamed. Rudra Devi was now being dragged into the depths by a force similar to a riptide in the ocean. She chanted all the protective mantras she knew, prayed to Varaha, the boar-headed god who presided over the body of knowledge in the darker texts of the Vedas. The toxic sludge now covered one half of her body, including her face. Then, one of the mantras she chanted in desperation yanked her out of the deadly pool and threw her against the walls of the cave. Her conscious mind faded. It disappeared into a warp that existed in the world between worlds. When she woke up after several weeks, she felt neither like a human nor like a spirit. A hunger that could never be satiated had tunneled deep into her soul. That, and a deep sorrow that threatened to break into uncontrollable rage. She stood up slowly. Her young body felt like it had aged 100 years, and a painful stinging sensation racked one side of it. The cave was poorly lit, and foreboding as ever, but strangely, now she could see in the dark. Rudradevi touched her face. It felt like the two halves had different textures. She decided to investigate. She pulled out a small ceremonial mirror from one of her cloth sacks on the floor, and she gazed into it. Her cries of sadness and self-pity turned into cries of rage. Her form seemed to vanish and reappear every few seconds, and she realized she was trapped in a purgatory from where she could only occasionally escape to the earthly plane. In time, her form would be completely lost to that other dimension. She needed to use the time she had left wisely, to learn, to perform rituals, to salvage her original form. There were dark and dangerous methods hidden in the pages of the Atharvaveda that could help her return to her corporeal form. But they demanded human sacrifices, especially the extraction of organs from young girls who were strong of spirit, the feisty ones. Desperate times called for desperate measures. Nothing mattered more than her personal quest to become Rudradevi again and fulfill her potential. She looked back at the mirror and studied the grotesque form in front of her eyes. For now, she would have to contend with being the Lalchudale, and in this form, she would hunt.
We expect a lot from our homes. They're more than a place to hang your hat. They're where you try your hand at gardening and new recipes. Rest and recharge. Work and play. And that's why at HomeAdvisor, we're committed to keeping your home up and running. Whether you need to repair an overloaded appliance or you're looking to create a backyard retreat worthy of a summer staycation, use the HomeAdvisor app, day or night, and we'll find a local pro to get the job done right. Whatever you need, we'll do everything to fix your everything. Download the HomeAdvisor app today to get started.